Good morning. If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. I'd like us to start our period of worship this morning and Bible study by looking at an encounter that Jesus has here in Matthew chapter 21. We begin in verse 23. Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." In this encounter, I call to your attention the question about authority. And I want to go ahead and mention to you that this morning, in both of the lessons that I present, I'm going to address some issues pertaining to authority. That's a word that sometimes as we think of it and we discuss it, we often in our daily life don't have much reason to speak of authority. It's certainly something, if you come from a military background, you have a very clear understanding of a chain of authority in which you are accountable and responsible to someone. In this context, I think perhaps a way for us to understand it is simply the idea of what proof do you have, they are asking, that you are acting from God. Often as we understand how the Jews of the first century operated, they would seek authority, seek that proof that what they were teaching or what they were practicing was from God by looking to what was taught in Scripture. Go with me, if you would, over to the book of Colossians, and I'd like us to look at a statement in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 17. Because as those that believe in God and believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah whom He has sent and the atonement that He has offered for us, if we follow Him as His disciples and seek to be pleasing to Him, we would want to make certain that what we are doing falls within the authority, or we would want to prove that we are acting with the authority to be pleasing to God. This is put in a different way in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It doesn't use the term authority, but notice it says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Notice here, acting in the name of Jesus is more than just saying, "Well, I'm doing this for Jesus." We might do something sinful and say, "Well, we're doing it for Jesus," and that's certainly not acting in the name of Jesus. In the account that we read in Matthew chapter 21, it's clear there that they understood, and Jesus, he doesn't dispute the importance of establishing authority. He, in fact, acknowledges that, you know, if you'll answer my question about John, was he acting with the authority of heaven, or was he simply doing something with man's approval or based upon what man decides? If we are to do those things that are pleasing to God, if we are to, in word or deed, act in the name of the Lord, how can it be that we are certain that we are acting within the authority of the Lord? You know, we sometimes may think of this as kind of a complicated thing, but I really think if we boil it down to its basics, it is not that difficult. How is it that we understand what any written material, if we do in fact agree and believe that Scripture is the revealed, written will and word of God, how may we understand what that authorizes? How may we understand if we do something that from the word of God we have authority or we are acting in the name of the Lord? I think with anything that we read, we will first try to understand clearly what it states explicitly. Now, look with me, if you would, in John chapter 14 and verse 15. And Jesus will put this in terms that I think we can understand pretty clearly. As one who has authority, he has the right to command. Our interest is we want to do what is pleasing to him. We want to, in fact, show our love for him. Jesus will say in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. We act in the name of the Lord. We act in the authority of heaven and under the authority of Christ when we keep the commandments of Christ. But is that the only way that we can know that we are doing those things that are pleasing to him? Look over in Philippians with me, in Philippians chapter 4. What do we learn from Scripture? In fact, sometimes we may ask the question, well, why is it that we read accounts about what the disciples did, what the apostles did, what the early church did? What difference does that make to us? Well, if we're seeking to be pleasing to God, if we want to act with the authority of heaven, then it only follows that if we look and see what they did, what is described that they did that was pleasing to the Lord, then it only follows that if we do those things, then we too will be pleasing to the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, we're not in a position like the Philippians in which we can actually see Paul carry out certain things or do certain things. But notice here, he's essentially giving a command of what they ought to follow. And he says, you follow those things that you see in me. When we read in the book of Acts, or we read in the epistles, those things that are described that were pleasing to God, if we do those same things, we can know that we are acting with the authority of God. We can know that we are acting in the name of the Lord. Look at me in another text over in the book of Galatians. Galatians. And I'd like us to notice something in Galatians chapter 3. I mentioned that sometimes we make this, or the world makes this, pretty complicated. You know, the world often has tried to look to other things and say, well, there are other things that can prove that we are acting with the authority, or we are acting in a way that's pleasing to God. Some will say, well, the authority that comes from church tradition and just what has been done historically, we can appeal to that. Well, the problem is that we can see that there are times in which, even in the New Testament, there were those that did what was acceptable before God, and there were those that acted in ways that were not acceptable before God. And in fact, we'll see in Galatians chapter 2 that Peter, who is so highly respected among the early apostles, he actually engaged in some behavior there that Paul had to rebuke him for. So is church tradition a good authority? No. Well, others would say, well, we believe that the Holy Spirit simply comes into our hearts, and if we feel strongly about something, that's the Holy Spirit leading us. Well, there's warning in Scripture that's given that we need to test the spirits. There's warning that's given that some may act as if they are speaking from God when they're really just following their own spirit. And the very fact that so often you'll see people that will say, well, the Holy Spirit's leading me to do this, the Holy Spirit's leading someone else to do that, shows that can't be from God. God's not the author of confusion. Now, if we then agree that Scripture is an undisputed source of authority, an undisputed way that we all can know that we are doing that which is pleasing to God, the reason that we sometimes complicate it is we sometimes look at the Word of God as if it has different qualities or different aspects from the way anything else we write is to be understood. Now, understand, I do believe, and I'm not saying that Scripture is not special. It is the inspired Word of God. But does that make it some mystery that can only be unraveled by certain elite intelligentsia? Does that make it something that we are incapable of understanding unless miraculously we're given the ability to understand it? Some will treat it as if it's this mystery that you really can't understand it in that way. I don't believe that's the case, and I think we'll notice that in our studies this morning. But I want us to look at one final way in which, in anything that's written, we can determine what it means and what it says. And I want to give you a little bit of an example here. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, I want you to notice that it's not that Scripture is just this kind of general, vague instruction and you fill in all the blanks however you want to. It is clear. And sometimes even the very specific wording of Scripture is intended to make a point. And let's notice this in an illustration that's given here in Galatians chapter 3. It's talking about Abraham, and it's talking about a promise that was given to Abraham, and it's talking about a promise that referred to some things that would come to his seed. Now, there are times in which that can refer to his descendants generally, but here the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, observes something very particular about that promise. Notice verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. Paul, through the Holy Spirit here, makes a point that the very difference between seed and seeds leads to a necessary inference that can be made. That it wasn't just talking about a plurality in this instance. Instead, it is talking about Christ, singular, as the seed of Abraham. Now, think with me about that. Because if Scripture is inspired of God and given to us in such detail that we can look at the wording of Scripture and draw conclusions, then it teaches us as well that when we look to those things that are necessarily inferred or inescapably concluded, it can teach us what we must do in order to be pleasing to God. One last passage, and then the lesson will be yours. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. And I want us to notice something, because God has given us His Word with the intent that we are to follow it. Jesus acknowledged that we're either going to follow men or we're going to follow the things of heaven. We saw that we are to do all things in word and deed in the name of the Lord. And I want us to understand that when we look to the Word of God, will it be something that we've got to dig into? Will it be something that we must strive to understand and to properly discern? Absolutely. But is it possible? Is it possible for us to act and to follow the authority, the proof that God is pleased with what we do and what we say? Absolutely. And I want us to notice how Paul demonstrates that here in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 2. It says, "If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already." Now stop there for just a moment. I mentioned a moment ago that we should not understand Scripture as this enigma or this mystery. Now Paul uses the term mystery here, but in what sense is he using it? He's using it in that sense of things that were previously not revealed, that were previously a mystery, but now in the revelation of God have been made known to us. And now notice he's talking about that which was made known to him by revelation, the mystery, as I have briefly written before. Now notice this, verse 4. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. I want us to notice that, because it may be easy for us sometimes to buy into this idea that, well, you know, I'm not a preacher, I can't understand. I'm not a smart man, I can't understand. I'm not led by the Holy Spirit, so I can't really understand this. Paul didn't say any of that. Paul says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Brothers and sisters, We can act with the authority of God. We can discern and understand what God would have us to do in order to act in the name of the Lord, in order to follow the authority of heaven, if we will read and study the Word of God. May we do that this morning in our efforts to worship and serve Him.